Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 2, and we'll read this very familiar text together, verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This is the first registration with Quirinius, as was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to the firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem now and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds, well, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Pray with me. Almighty God, Father and Creator, we have come before you this night. Lord Jesus, your coming is about a particular action of love that had been prophesied and promised since the beginning of time. And what matters most is that you actually came from eternity into time and space, just as you promised. Not as a metaphor, not as a myth or a legend, but as our perfect Savior. Holy Spirit, enlighten our minds to your word, which is such a blessing, even one that is so familiar. In Jesus' name, amen. Every time when I read this passage, I want to say, "Lights, please." Thinking of Linus as he reads the story so well. But Luke is a storyteller. Luke is a historian. And he took great care to share with us the detailed history of Jesus' birth in chapters 1 and chapters 2 of his book, guaranteeing that the people of all over the world could never question the existence of this one, the Son of God. To deny him is simply to deny truth, to deny reality, and to deny historical fact. Believers and non-believers around the world would not disagree with that. All of this evidence is great, but the thing that really ties us into this story is the humility and the smallness of his birth. So it always grabs my attention, to be sure, because it was so still and so quiet, at least in most cases. What happens when royalty has a baby? There is so much fanfare and so much excitement and so much noise. Here, our Savior comes into the world with stillness and intimacy and weakness. He came into the world moved by God's providence, just as he had been prophesied so long ago. God moved the whole Roman world just to make sure that his promise was kept, that his son would be born at just the right time, at just the right place. And when the time had fully come, God sent his son, our Savior, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. And our text ties into that when it says, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a firstborn son. Now, think about this a minute. Our God and our King became a baby, displaying his humility and his connection with his children. This baby was and is and will always be our King from before time and in time. So be sure when we read words like there was no room for him in the inn, those are not just a sidebar of information. They're not an insult to him. They were everything happened the way it was supposed to. As our King, that was his kingly prerogative in this way. We bless and we adore him because he acted by his will, by his decree, just as he foretold he would react. So we, as his people, give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love endures forever. He keeps his promises that were made so many years ago. But while this is still a moment in time, one nameless angel comes and heralds his birth to the shepherds of all people, continuing his choice of things being small and intimate and weak. For of all people, shepherds were looked down upon. And so it was all quiet, at least for the moment. The announcement comes, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, "Fear not," which is common, as we've seen this Advent season. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, it had been a night just like any other night outside in the fields of Bethlehem. So we can imagine that the shepherds were, in fact, caught off guard when the messenger made his appearance and the light came upon them and this voice started speaking. Naturally, they would have been fearful because it had been quiet before, a little bit of noise from the sheep. Let's see, who can give me a good sheep sound? Now, if all the lights are out and all we could see were stars, do it again. That's all you'd hear. Then all of a sudden, an angel comes in and says, "Behold!" You'd be scared. How many people like to be shocked in the middle of the night? Yeah! Not me. So here they are, just minding their own business. But when he says, "Fear not," he gives them a reason not to fear, just like a parent would do for his children. "Fear not, for behold, I bring good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord," something that they had been told about as kids would happen, but certainly not tonight. A Savior was born. This is the reason for none of us to fear today ourselves, because a Savior has been born. Our Savior has been born. If you've ever sinned against God, you need a Savior. And guess what? We've all sinned against God. And we all need a Savior. And he was born that night. The angel said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Only God can forgive sins against God. One of the main reasons God sent his eternal Son into the world, because he is God himself. Jesus said, the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Therefore, a Savior is born. But perhaps the most wonderful thing that was said on this night of nights, in this subtle world-changing line of declaration, is that this newborn was a Savior who is Christ the Lord. By the time they get to Bethlehem, they see this child wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. How is that possible? How is that possible? The Lord. Not only is this child Mary's and Joseph's son, but this child is the Lord. Not only was he sent from the Lord, but he is the Lord. He is God and man. The Lord of heaven has initiated and acted to rescue his lowly and filthy people from their sin and misery, as he promised he would do all the way back in Genesis 3:15. He came in flesh and blood. He took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He came, and his name would be Jesus. Save his people from their sins, and as Lee read, God with us, which means he also came to save us for a relationship with the Father. Here is from the very beginning, as God moves to give a Savior to his people, he does not do that in terms of the world's expectations. He does it in his own surprising and mysterious and marvelous ways. The scripture says God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what was lowly and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing that are, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. As this extravagant announcement came to lowly shepherds, Christ himself had come as a child, even as a weak and fragile infant. In his of most humble birth, as the text tells us, the angels tell the shepherd, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. A manger, no castle, no palace, no hospital, not even a house with a crib in it. He was born in a stable, wrapped in rags. Swaddling clothes is a nice word, but that's not what he was wrapped in, something that we would pull off a shelf or buy at Walmart or even in a more exclusive place. The swaddling clothes, the Greek there tells us that these were the rags that wiped down the sweating animals as they were put up for the night. These are the things that our Savior was swaddled in. We all know how important it is to swaddle our little ones so that they will sleep. And then he was placed in a manger. An animal feeding trough. Only God could make this stuff up and write this way. Well, the shepherds found themselves wondering, what's the meaning of this unusual message? Why us? Why a manger? If this is the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, why a manger? As the shepherds were pondering this, out of nowhere, from their perspective, an amazing choral presentation begins. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. God is so gracious. The audience of this angelic performance was simply a flock of sheep and a bunch of shepherds. The angels proclaiming a stunning news that the Savior was born, and all glory and honor and praise belongs to God above. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. For peace has come. The Prince of Peace was born that night. He has come in and manifested and will continue to manifest that peace. For the gospel is for all people, his people, and this peace is for all those with whom God is pleased by faith. The old King James we all know pretty well. On earth, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Well, there's very few translations out there that actually use that anymore. They know how weak that translation is. If you have an NIV, you read, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. If you have an NASB, it says, peace on earth among men with whom he is pleased. And as we've seen with the ESV, peace among those with whom he is pleased. The point is this. Even though God's offer of peace goes out to all, only his chosen people, or as Mary had said in Mary's Magnificat, only those who fear him, the people that receive him, that trust him as Savior and Messiah and Lord, only those will experience the peace that he brings. The weight and magnitude of all this was just too much to take all at the same time. The shepherds did exactly what they were told. They got up and with haste and went to Bethlehem to see this thing that had happened that the Lord had made known to them. The shepherds got the point. Their hearts had the right instinct, even though their minds were still probably spinning from all the things that had occurred that night already. And Mary and Joseph? Well, Mary's the smart one. She ponders all these things. She treasures them up. She ponders them in her heart. They all understood that Christ's coming is not about the worth and goodness of humanity, but the mind-blowing mercy and grace of God to change everything when he came down. So to Mary, it was worth pondering. Pondering it all from the first appearance of the angel to her aunt being, her cousin being pregnant, to the angel appearing to Joseph, to the coming of this baby, her baby and her Savior. She pondered all this in her heart, and she and Joseph had so much to ponder and give thanks for that night. The shepherds, you got to love these guys. It was just too much for them to keep in. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God, keeping everybody up, making sure that everybody heard what was going on, because they had received a gift that they never expected to receive. So they told and praised God for all they had heard and seen, just as they'd been told. Never to be same again. The natural outcome of God's mercy and grace, because a Savior is born. The Gospel of Luke records this story, and with that, word gets out that our King is born so that he could save his people from their sins, so he could save his people for a relationship with God once again. The simple but profound event spurred the church within 100 years of his birth to begin celebrating what was called the Feast of the Nativity, which included all what we call Advent and Christmas, celebrating this glorious event of our God coming in flesh to save his own people. The same one who will come again. That's why, just like the angels, we are called upon to sing the same song, glory to God in the highest. Pray with me. Father, thank you for sending to us our Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving us in Christ from our sin and misery. Thank you for saving us for a relationship with you. Thank you for ruling the world with truth and grace. And thank you for committing to make all things new and wiping all tears away upon your return. It's in your great and gracious and glorious name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.